On Good Friday, we looked at the darkness of the crucifixion, that extraordinary event where the sun hid its light for 3 hours. There was darkness while the Lord Jesus hung on the cross, tasting spiritual death on our behalf. Well, by contrast, today being Resurrection Sunday, the day we describe as Easter, I would like us to look at the light of the resurrection in two simple ways that we see in the accounts that we've just read. By contrast with the crucifixion, we note that it starts with the sun beginning to rise. In Mark 16, verse 2, we read that they came at the rising of the sun. And it sounds like it was a day like today, well, that the sun is not quite as bright as it was earlier. Certainly as our day started, it would seem that that first Sunday, that first Lord's Day, began in the same way. And consider how it compares with Psalm 19. This is the reason why we sang Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. So tabernacle, building, a tent for the sun. So the universe is being described as a tent, a covering for the sun. Well, we have a wonderful picture of the rising sun to remind us of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? Because it's a picture we have every day. Because every day the sun rises. And you see in Psalm 19 that the psalmist likens the sun to a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. So the bridegroom is getting up. It's his wedding day. And he's like a strong man ready to run a race, to collect his bride and take her off. Well, the Lord Jesus is likened to a bridegroom in Scripture. We see this in Ephesians chapter 5, where we read from verses 25 to 27, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." So on the cross, the Lord Jesus sanctified, cleansed his bride by dying on the cross for her sins, thus cleansing her. At the resurrection, we could say that this is the beginning of the Lord Jesus seeking out that bride. That bride being all the people on this earth who will turn and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, without the resurrection, there would be nothing. We would have no assurance that our sins have been forgiven, because we'd just be having to take it on trust that death really was defeated. We would have no recorded evidence that death had been conquered. But wonderfully, we have the resurrection as our proof. As others have said before me, the events that happen in the world must always be seen in the context of the church. For it's the church's story that matters most. You see, God has ordained every event in history for his purpose. If you just like to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, you'll see that. reading verse 10 and 11, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Everything works according to the counsel of God's will. And what is his purpose? To bring all things together in Christ. There is a purpose to everything, including the coronavirus. God is making ready his bride. He's calling out the bride of the Lord Jesus, the church. And this is the reason why the Lord Jesus hasn't returned yet. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, we learn why the Lord Jesus has not yet returned. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. He's patient to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friends, don't be misled. A time will come when the Lord Jesus will come again in judgment and to collect his bride. He'll come as a thief in the night, as we see in the next verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. So the resurrection morning, it's really the birth of the church, because it triggered Christ's ascension when he went to heaven and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the church at Pentecost. So that is the first reference to light that we see. The picture of Christ as the sun racing across the sky from one end to the other, from Alpha to Omega, from the beginning to the end, from that first resurrection morning to the day when he gathers in all his people and returns to earth to judge the world. A daily reminder to us. So at midday, the sun is in the sky and at height of its heat, and as it's going down, we remind ourselves every evening, our lives are like a vapor. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. But the purpose of our life is not that we can do what we like, not that we can just try and be good people, but that we turn from our sins and believe on Jesus Christ, and so are part of that, become part of that bride that the Lord Jesus died for and that the Lord Jesus is returning for at the end of time. Then the second reference to light comes in verses 2 and 3. Let's remember that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the wife of Cleopas and mother of James and John, tells us that, this is what Mark tells us in, Mark tells us in chapter 16, verse 1, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keeper did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Well, the supernatural signs continue. You'll recall from Good Friday that a supernatural darkness fell over the land, as I've already mentioned. And we know also that the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. It's a 30-foot curtain, so it couldn't have been torn by man, to show that the way into God's presence was now available through the blood of Christ that had been shed for the sins of all those that are God's children. We're also told about an earthquake and that a number of saints were raised from the dead after the resurrection. There was a question that was asked on Friday, well, what happened? Well, I think What happened is that to those saints is that they were taken to heaven when the Lord Jesus ascended. And I sent round, in fact, a commentary on the WhatsApp group. So do have a look at that if you haven't seen it already. If you aren't on a WhatsApp group and would like to see it, please let me know. Well, one wonders whether this might have been the earthquake that was being referred to in Matthew, in the previous chapter of Matthew. And it's a wonderful picture, isn't it? Here is a stone that was too great for any man to roll away, let alone three women. Then they'd come, yet they'd come to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. But here was an impossible obstacle. Well, God never requires us to do more than we're able. No, as the Lord Jesus said about the woman who broke the jar of alabaster on the Lord Jesus' head, she did what she could. Our duty as believers is to do what we can, for we can do no more. Some can do more than others. We're just told not to do what other people do, but to do what we can. We also note that when we can do no more, then that's when the Lord steps in. These women came to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus, but they couldn't get in to the cave where he was laid. It was essential that they did, but not in fact for the reason that they thought. They needed to see the inside of the cave, not to see the body to be anointed by them, but to see an empty grave that the Lord Jesus had risen. And how wonderful that these women were the first to be given that assurance that Christ, and that proof that Christ had indeed risen and that their sins were indeed forgiven. In this instance, the Lord used an angel to accomplish his purpose. Angels were sent to proclaim the Lord Jesus' birth to Mary and to the shepherds in the fields. Angels ministered to the Lord Jesus after his 40 days in the wilderness and his temptation at the end of his fast. And an angel strengthened him in the Garden of Gethsemane, where we read that he was so exercised before the Lord in prayer at his coming trial that he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. And he was strengthened by an angel. It's striking that angels were involved at the most significant times of the Lord's ministry. And of course, there was nothing more significant than the resurrection. Now, there's an important point to be made here. The angel didn't come to raise the Lord Jesus from the dead. He could not have done that. He didn't have the power to do that. The resurrection was performed by God himself. And each of the three persons of the Trinity were involved, as they are in every action of the Godhead. We read in John chapter 2, verse 19, the Lord Jesus informing us that he would raise himself from the dead. This is what we read. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. Will I rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. But it was not just God the Son who raised up the Lord Jesus. We also read that God the Father raised him up. Acts 2 verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear, referring to the day of Pentecost. And we see that the Holy Spirit also raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. We read this in Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all raised Christ from the dead. Not done by an angel, could only have been done by God himself. And so this angel did not come to raise the Lord Jesus from the dead, but to proclaim that he was risen. And not just to tell the women, but to show them as well, by rolling away the stone and showing them an empty tomb. Isn't it wonderful that the Christian faith is not make-believe, It's not we don't just have to take the angel's word that Christ was risen. Those women were not just told, well, believe what the angel said. No, the angels showed him. The angel showed them an empty tomb. And we have the record in Scripture, as Peter says in 2 Peter 1 verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we have this record in the Scriptures. And that record has been faithfully preserved up until our own day, as we were hearing on Wednesday by Graham Tutor's presentation to us. It's not been hidden away in the Vatican or some such place, but it's been preserved. The Word of God has been preserved down through the ages through the Church. And how wonderful that the first accurate translation of the Greek and Hebrew Scriptures was available just in time for the English and German translations to be made at the time of the Reformation. And returning to our subject, this angel arrived by appointment as the women came to the tomb. In Mark 16, verse 3, we read that the question on the women's lips was, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Well, they need not have worried. God has sent an angel before them. Next, notice the different reactions of the Roman soldiers and the women, which is all the more extraordinary when you consider their natural differences, the natural differences between a Roman soldier and these women. Soldiers are trained in the art of warfare, armed to stop anyone moving the stone, afraid of no one. The women, by contrast, were unarmed, had no business in armed conflict. They may well have feared the soldiers, but in contrast, they had no fear of the Lord Jesus or his messengers, because they loved him and he loved them. As we read earlier in Matthew 28, verse 3, the countenance of the angel was like lightning, and his raiment, his clothing, white as snow. And it reminds us of the transfiguration when the Lord Jesus' face shone as the sun, and his clothing was white as the light. Matthew 17, verse 2. The angel's appearance caused the soldiers to shake with fear and become as dead men. All their training and their experience in combat could not help them now. They were confronting an enemy that they couldn't fight with earthly weapons. Isn't it sad that these angels were enemies to the soldiers? The soldiers were there to stop the angel from rolling away the stone, but how useless was any attempt in the face of this being? It was useless, as was Pharaoh's attempt to chase the Israelites into the Red Sea with all his army, only to be destroyed. Friends, if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is to teach us anything, it is that it is utterly useless to try and fight against God. His purposes will always prevail. Remember from John 18, verse 6, that the men who came to arrest the Lord Jesus, they were carrying torches and weapons, but when they first tried to arrest him, they fell back. This is what we read. As soon as he, the Lord Jesus, had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. What useless men these were. They were meant to bring to arrest this man, but they were powerless to do so. But of course, powerless until the Lord enabled them, because it was his purpose that Christ should be arrested. It was no accident that he went to the cross. It was God's divine plan all along from before the foundation of the world. That's why he's described as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was in God's mind slain before he ever came to the earth, because that was the purpose of his coming. Isn't it strange that these soldiers guarding the stone had learned nothing from recent events? Supernatural events do take place in the world, but so often men pay no attention to them. Not only did these soldiers have the account of the arrest of the Lord Jesus to warn them, but they also had the events of the Friday, just 2 days before. That should have been fresh in their memories when darkness descended over the whole land of Israel for 3 hours. Surely that should have warned them that this was no ordinary man who was crucified. Had they not heard the testimony of the Roman soldier standing at the cross? He could even have been their commanding officer. Matthew 27 verse 54, he said, "Truly this was the Son of God," this centurion converted at the scene of the crucifixion. So these soldiers were confronted with something they couldn't deal with, the angel of light, and they shook with fear. We live in an age where there's no fear of God. People despise God. They consider him weak and irrelevant, a servant of men. But he's no such thing. He is the all-powerful creator of the universe. From the creation of the world, it has been sustained by the Lord Jesus himself. And we read this in Colossians 2, verse 17. "And he," the Lord Jesus, "is before all things, and by him all things consist. Even while the Lord Jesus' body lay in the grave, the Lord Jesus as God was holding the world together." How ignorant these soldiers were. The angel was a messenger of the one whose body they were guarding, and they were helpless in his presence. Friends, if these tough men could not stand in the presence of an angel, what hope will they have, or any of us have, at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? We read this about his return in 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 7 to 10. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." So there's a lesson for us all this morning. If an angel could cause these soldiers to become as dead men, then we need to be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. For his return will be far more terrifying than the arrival of just this one angel. There will be many angels, and yet their appearance will pale into relative obscurity compared to the dazzling appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Well, returning for a moment to that picture of the sun and the bridegroom that we had at the beginning, and the sun, like the bridegroom, running a race. You remember the parable of the wise and foolish virgins who were waiting for the bridegroom to come. You read it in Matthew chapter 25. "Five were ready and waiting with oil in their lamps, but five were not. Their oil had run out." The lesson surely is, from the arrival of this angel, that we must be ready when the Lord Jesus returns in glory. Are you ready, friends? Have you made your peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, then you'll be in an even worse position than these soldiers. At least the soldiers lived to tell the tale. Tragically, they remained unchanged. They accepted bribes from the chief priests to remain silent about what they'd witnessed in Matthew 28 verse 12. One day they'll face the judgment seat of Christ, and they'll have to explain why they love their sin more than they love the truth that had been revealed to them. They may have received some temporary comfort. They might have been able to buy a house, who knows? Have a pension for when they retired. What price was that compared to the everlasting darkness that they will enter without the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to respond to the call of the gospel now, while there is time, because there will come a time when it will be too late. Now these women, unlike the soldiers, were reassured by the angel, who said to them in verse 5, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen." The angel had for these women a message of hope. Their Lord was alive and had gone before them to Galilee. So that is where they went, as we're told in verse 12, with fear and great joy. Friends, the resurrection of Jesus Christ spells doom for the unbeliever, but joy for those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. These great events left the soldiers unmoved. They continued in their unrighteous way, and the Bible says that wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that are on it. We're all sheep that have gone astray, we read in Isaiah 53. See, like sheep, we follow the crowd, don't we? We do what everyone else is doing. So hard to swim against the current, isn't it? The tendency of mankind is to continue to walk in darkness, even when we've seen the light. So in John 3:19, we read, light has come into the world, but men loved darkness. And then in John 8, verse 12, we read of Christ saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That first light, literally with the sun rising, the light of the angel, was pointing to the light of life, Jesus Christ. These women were despised and insignificant in the eyes of the world. Yet they obeyed the call to follow the Lord Jesus. And so they no longer walked in darkness, but in the light of life. On the morning of the resurrection, the light once again shone as the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, was raised from the dead to prove that death was defeated. Well, may each one of us respond to the light of the resurrection by turning to the Lord Jesus in repentance and saving faith today, so that our eternal future may be secured in heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we will be ready for him when he comes for his bride. We won't react like the soldiers, falling as dead men, with only the doom of certain judgment and the punishment of eternal separation from God in hell to follow. Friends, there's a lesson here for all of us, isn't there? Isn't there? To make our peace with God through Jesus Christ now, and to live our lives in his service. Amen.